Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're going to set up some real douchey frats with this money as well. It's going to be a fucking catastrophe for our legal team. Trust me.
Came here to Flint Stone, I came here to Flint Bone, so let's yabba dabba do this and get down to bam bam business. This is the Lore Boys, Ethan here. I'm today joined with
Peter, aroused as all hell.
Peter's a big fan of the Brontosaurus, what can I say?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hi everybody.
Long and thick, that's how I like it.
Yeah, like thick necked and eats leaves like a penis.
Yeah.
Is how Brontosaurus are often described.
I mean, I've read a lot of paleontology books frequently, so it's like
I'm in love with a raptor or whatever the smut erotica featuring.
No, the dinosaur smut that I bought for 99¢ on Amazon, and you should too, is called T-Rex Trouble.
Okay.
And it's about a psychic T-Rex that has sex with a cave lady.
I mean, there's a whole
That's our next
series
episode.
Of women fucking raptors.
Yeah.
Like erotica out there. Welcome to the erotica boys.
I think it's all written by the same person.
Yeah. No, she's like, I think it's Danielle Steele? Ernest Hemingway? I can't remember.
It's Ernest Hemingway's her pen name.
Okay. Yeah.
In Our Time was about fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. Believe it or not, this is not
complete garbage.
People fucking dinosaurs podcast.
Yeah. On your
whoa, whoa, whoa. If you thought, if you were about to tune out thinking this is complete garbage,
trust me,
it gets slightly better.
Yes. We'll take it all the way up to a B+, baby.
No, this is the Lore Boys. We're talking about some Dungeons & Dragons stuff today because Ethan's hosting, so why the fuck not?
We host a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, don't we?
Ethan sure does.
Lore Boys podcast. It's a lore podcast.
Yeah.
We take the wiki and we bring it to you. It's like Uber Eats for Wikipedia. Yeah. Is really what we do.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Two white guys hosting a podcast in 2019? Come on. But there's normally three white guys
exactly.
Hosting this podcast.
So it's actually unique.
It's worse.
Because old Jimmy Jambo.
Old Aunt James.
Was in Poland?
Yes, he was in Poland in Katowice for IEM. Katowice.
We mentioned it now so we can use the hashtag. We will never speak of this again.
That's it. I guess for anyone who doesn't know, it's a big esports tournament. Esports, esports, esports.
Yeah, so on our Instagram, it was the story was mostly CSGO.
Yeah, I don't have Instagram, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I believe you guys.
Speaking of which,
I'm the marketing major, and Peter and Jamie are the only ones who do any of our social media. So
I'm the art boy, and if you follow us on Instagram at Lore Boys Podcast, you may have noticed we haven't had an update in a while. Just to address that, I was feeling like my skills with the way that I draw, because I draw with a mouse, have plateaued, and then after that, some real life shit made me even more demoralized. So at this point, I am shopping for a tablet, and we'll go back and do a bunch of new shit. But at present, I do not have a tablet because I haven't really made a decision yet. But that's why. Follow us on Instagram. You'll get some updates soon.
There. Thus he vowed.
Yes.
So let's get into it.
Dungeons and Dragons?
You know what we're talking about today, Peter?
You had mentioned it like 3 weeks ago or something.
I did tell you like 3 weeks ago.
The Whamulore.
The Whamulore.
The War of the Whambo.
You know, I mentioned earlier today that we're talking about Wizard.
Yeah.
And or Wizards. Well, you were playing Warframe?
Wizards of the Coast?
I guess, yeah, but also specific wizards within a Wizards of the Coast intellectual property, Dungeons & Dragons.
I see, okay.
Tell me more. Today we're going to talk about the story of a man named Manchun.
That's it, the Manchun Wars.
The Manchun Wars is where we're going to end up today. We're going to start with Manchun, who he was. We're going to end on the Manchun Wars. Yeah. Maybe dip into the Spell Plague if we have time.
I had a little thing in my head. When you had mentioned the Manchun Wars, I had kept it in my head that it was kind of like a silly bastardization of the Machine Wars, and that's, for some reason, how I remembered it.
I mean, we're going to get to the end, and we're going to be able to tie a thread to that. No machines, no ancient robots. Don't get your jollies. Don't crush that can just yet, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on
to
that.
Put your keys away. Yeah. This is not shotgun time.
Hold on to that till you're 18 or 21 or...
wherever you're listening from.
Yeah, that's it.
Whatever it is in Australia.
Follow the rules, kids. Please. Don't get us in trouble. So, Manchun was a human.
Okay.
Big shock, I know. A world full of elves, and we had to talk about a human. He was born to his father, Harlshun, which is a terrible name. Manchun's a bad name.
Is Manchun a first and last?
No, one word. Manchun.
Harlshun.
Harlshun.
That's bad, yeah,
that's
right.
That's a bad name. But a guy was shit out of luck, but... he was first lord of Zentil Keep.
Okay.
Which isn't a bad gig. So, Zentil Keep's keep located on the western edge of the Moon Sea, an inland sea of northern Faerun.
Oh, okay. So, I was going to say, still Faerun. This is the same kind of D&D setting we've been talking about on all of our past D&D episodes. If you go and find them, other than Ravnica, we've basically covered Faerun the entire time.
Other than Ravnica or Spelljammer.
Oh, Spelljammers are a separate animal.
Yeah, Spelljammer jumped into like a bunch of different worlds and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but wasn't that the point of having a flying magic ship?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Beyond Faerun.
Spoilers for that episode. The point was...
yeah, so we have done a couple of other episodes, I guess I should say. There's a couple of things. So I know when we did the Illithid the Mind Flayer episode,
yes.
I mentioned Beholders.
Yes.
And at the time, I'm pretty sure I promised to do a Beholders episode. Haven't done it yet.
This isn't it.
But we will mention Beholders again. And I gave a brief summary the last time. I'll give a brief summary this time. And look forward to the Beholders Lore Boy episode. Brought to you by Peter or Jamie, I'm sure. I'm sure one of them wants to jump on that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know tons about D&D. Jamie, too, especially.
Yeah, Jamie's a big D&D boy. So Zentil Keep was ruled by a council of lords. Foremost of them was the first lord. So Harlshun, our boy, was lord among lords. It was basically like a council of... nobles,
okay,
or whatever, and one of them was fit to rule more than the others. Sure. It's like, but they didn't want to call him king, I guess, because he didn't have a kingdom. I don't really know.
Whatever. It's like the equivalent to, like, we have parliament where we have a prime minister and a bunch of other people that we elect as well, but the prime minister is slightly more important, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
Because we send him places.
Yeah. Prime Minister Harlshun Trudeau.
Yeah.
This big nose and gorgeous locks of hair.
Hell yeah.
Harlshun had two sons. Manchun, who you already knew about. And his brother, Azmuth.
Oh.
As sons of the First Lord, they were required to undergo a trial, wherein they would strike out into the world and return with something of value for the keep.
Okay.
So, hard knock life in Zentil Keep. Everything's pretty cutthroat. Everybody's, you know, all the lords are constantly trying to, like, one-up each other, and it's a bunch of, like, shady fucks, kind of like in this backwater keep in the middle of nowhere. So it's
it's Hillbilly Keep.
Yeah. So, like, it's... okay. I don't know about Hillbilly Keep, but kind of like Baltimore, like, where it's just, like, crime-riddled and everyone's, like, a shady fuck, you know? like, a lot of backstabbings and murders and probably drugs and, like, illegal weapons trades and stuff. I've never been to Baltimore. It might be beautiful.
Me neither, yeah.
Murder capital of America, and that's literally all I know about it, so I am an ignorant slut.
Bad rap.
But
at least up here.
Basically, if you grow up in this shitty keep, like on the edge of this backwater sea in northern Faerun, and you have two sons, they're pretty much only as valuable to you as the goods that they can get.
The amount of tricks they can turn.
Yeah, the amount of...
Is he a daddy pimp?
No.
Is
that, well, if he's prostituting his sons for magical weapons, I suppose, in a way.
Cool.
Prostituting their innocence, at the very least. Because he's basically like, you better not fucking come back here. You're worthless to me as is. And if you come back here with anything less than rare, beautiful, magical artifacts, you're going to be worth even
less.
You
got to bring me an orange or a purple. If you come back here with a blue or a green, I'm going to beat you.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to beat you till your hide turns to leather.
I won't even disenchant it for the mats, my man.
This isn't your vendor trash.
Yeah.
Spits on them.
So the two, Azmuth and Manchun, strike out. And they're accompanied by Chess, like the game.
Okay, good. They're bringing their retro video game console.
No, Chess was the son of their father's chief rival.
Okay.
So it was kind of like an insurance thing, I think.
Odd choice.
Where it's like, hey, if I get back dead, or like if you guys get back and I'm dead, you kill the guy's kid or something like that, you know?
Oh, okay.
It was kind of like a mutual thing.
Did you give like a collateral hostage?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, my kid's got your kid has
like
my kid's.
It's like the cyanide tooth.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Something like that. So the three of them strike out as adventurers, looking for treasures or riches. While they're gone, Chess's father would poison Harlshun. I assume it didn't take long. They were gone for like years.
Yeah.
Basically,
did he wait till the weekend was over at the very least? Yeah. Or just like as soon as he's like not wearing his glasses until he couldn't see them, he's like, time to kill the king.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think like in D&D terms, they like formed an adventuring party and, you know, went to level up and play D&D.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if anybody ever actually played.
Is the Manchun quest like a campaign you can
run? No, not as far as I know. Okay. Manchun is featured in a lot of campaigns and a lot of adventure paths, especially early ones. So he was one of the one of the first like major recurring characters, I guess.
Is this like a first ed, second ed kind of guy? Or
a second ed, mostly. Oh, I think he was first published in second ed, and I think that's where he was most prominently featured. He was in third ed. He's still in fifth ed. Yeah. He's still in fourth ed, so.
I can't remember. Mac's girlfriend, I think, hated fourth ed, but was like a big 3.5 girl. And then fifth ed, I think everybody likes, right?
Fifth ed is pretty great. 3.5 is Pathfinder. That's what we played.
Right. A couple times.
It's 3.5 basically. Yeah. It's 3.5 with like a little more fleshed out, maybe a little more open source shit jammed in there. Fourth ed was not for everybody. If you like a lot of like board gaming mechanics, like a lot
it was,
of
like, figurine play a lot, wasn't it?
Well, like it was okay. So like you can play any Dungeons and Dragons game any way you want. It's you and your friends sitting in a room, make believing. You know what I mean? So like a lot of people get their panties in a bunch about fourth ed. It was the first Dungeons and Dragons I ever played, and like we didn't play with a board, and we barely used the rules. We just used it to make characters and balance monsters, and like that was it. So we basically
you hung out to have fun. What are you? What are you, some kind of fucking weirdo?
Yeah, man.
Ethan?
We dressed like legitimately the first time I played D&D. We got full costumes, gathered around candles in my buddy's kitchen. And,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
he said without a hint of irony.
it was a good ass time. So Harlshun, getting back on topic, Harlshun does get poisoned by Kalkintor. I didn't say his name before, but that was the guy's name, because he's not important. Because after he gets poisoned, Harlshun manages to throw Kalkintor off a balcony. So remember that insurance policy where if one of them was dead, the kids would kill the other?
Yep,
they're just both dead now.
Good.
So I guess the kids are gonna kill each other.
Dang.
So
what was he like, choking or whatever? Did he like hand him wine and like wait for him to drink it, and then he just like turned around and he was just like, it's so obvious.
Yeah, that's it.
Throw him off the balcony
and then just like William Shatner's to death onto the ground. Yeah,
keel over and die.
Yeah, so it's like I know I want to poison him, but when should I do it? He's on the balcony now, the perfect place. Surely nothing could go wrong if I do it here. So he gets thrown to his death. This is a better way to go than poison? I don't know. Poison seems like it would hurt.
Poisoning seems like way more painful, whereas falling, at least a sufficient distance, you'd be afraid and then you'd just explode.
I mean, you'd be afraid getting poisoned too, though, right? Like, if it takes long enough.
Yeah, I guess falling a long way. Falling from, like, the turret of a keep and then rupturing on the ground, I suppose, would be preferable.
Yeah. to being poisoned.
Yes.
Well, you heard
to
it
use my oldie English in terms.
So they're dead. The First Lord and Kalkintor was, second in line for that First Lord position, basically. So a couple yuppies managed to usurp the throne after the two's death. While the trio, Manchun, Azmuth, and Chess, continue to adventure. Typical Dungeons and Dragons adventures, like I'd said. One of which was to recover a magical sword from an ancient barrow.
Fighting goblins, hanging out with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Regular D&D
exactly,
shit.
Yeah. Met up with Terry Crews at some point.
D&D Diesel shit.
Somebody rolled a rogue and instantly tried to steal stuff from their own party members.
Good.
The bard is just trying to fuck everybody. Like, every single time the Dungeon Master comes up with a new NPC, male or female, this bard just tries to, fuck them. And
way
it's like,
too lecherous.
Yeah, it's, like, so funny. So funny, Steve. God, it's so funny, but God, Let's get on, man.
Is it Steve that we know?
No, it's a made-up Steve.
Oh, okay.
No,
he played D&D with Steve.
I do play D&D with Steve.
Former roommate Steve.
Steve. He played a rogue in our first campaign.
Oh, okay.
And now he is playing a... Oh, no, he's playing a rogue in this campaign. He played a gunslinger in our first campaign.
Sweet. Is that cowboy rogue?
I'm an edge boy. He's like a half vampire, very edgy boy.
Good.
He's like, I carry two knives, and I don't know, I killed my own mother, and my parents are, my dad doesn't like me, and he's sending people to kill me. Okay. He's playing an edgelord, basically.
Yeah, that's
I respect. I mean, D&D can be whatever you want it to be.
Kind of edge out.
Yeah, and if you want to fucking edge the whole time you're at my fucking...
I'm always edging.
My D&D game, I'm always edging. I'm constantly erect when I'm playing D&D.
Yeah.
They go on a quest to steal a magical sword from an ancient barrow. They do this with the help of a trio of female Harpers.
What's a Harper?
Harper is like a, it's like a semi-secret organization of like wizards and bards and these other people.
Okay.
They're devoted to promoting good and preserving history. And they're basically just like, I don't got a good analogy, but they're like spies that just try and do good for everybody else and try and, you know, protect the secrets of magic from falling into the hands of evil necromancers or liches or stuff like that. You know what I mean?
They're like, yeah, they're just good magic spies.
Yeah, that's it. So like a lot of adventurers, like if you're playing a D&D campaign and you're playing a wizard, there's a good chance that, you know, like if your DM is playing in like the canon Faerun world, there's a good chance that he'd be like, oh, you know, Harpers approach you and you can join the Harpers and you can kind of, okay, cool. It's kind of like a good source of quest hooks for a DM. You know, where he's like, one member of the party is part of the Harpers.
Yeah.
And like, when you have like kind of time in between like main story beats, he could just be like, oh, you know, the Harpers send you a letter about, you know, a small red dragon that's terrorizing the countryside. Go deal with it or whatever.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So they go with these three Harpers, these three female Harpers, to get the sword in the attack on the barrel.
Is it Charlie's Angels by any chance?
Yeah, I think for Loreboy's canon, they are canonically the Charlie's Angels.
Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, and Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
it was Charlie Harper.
That was the guy's name.
Yeah. Harper's Angels. So in the attack on the barrow, Azmuth was blinded, and Manchun had one of his hands blown off when he carelessly reached for the sword.
Pretty cool.
So one thing that the rogue...
That's a pretty cool image of just like, what did he like touch it and then his hand was blown off?
Or yeah.
Like on the way in, was it blown off before touching the hilt?
I mean, pick your poison, dude.
Cool.
Which way do you prefer it?
I might draw that at some point.
Yeah. So, basically it was like a magical trap.
Okay.
Always check for traps. Always roll that perception check.
Because they didn't have a rogue with them, eh?
They didn't have that rogue with them to disable device. You know what I mean? No, I would say chess. I mean, it's like they don't have like clear-cut classes.
Yeah.
Chess was maybe a rogue. I don't know, maybe a fighter.
Azmuth
was maybe a rogue, maybe a fighter. Manchun wasn't. We'll get into what Manchun was.
Nobody decided to check, though. Either way.
Yeah, that's it. They did have three members of, like, the Good Wizard Society there, and none of them managed to dispel it.
We're all going to go pee at the same time. Is that cool? Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's it.
We're just going to go check this sword thing.
Well, I like to think that part of it is, you know, Manchun, he probably has daddy issues, you know?
Well, yeah.
He's probably trying really, really hard to impress
Harlshun.
Harlshun.
Yeah.
You know, and he probably like sees the sword and is probably like, I got to get it before the Harpers do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the Harpers like, hey,
they want to protect it from people like Harlshun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From evil crime lords that live in keeps and have friends who poison them and
eat giant turkey legs and get their shirts all greasy.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst kind of people.
Yeah.
The rough is gets all greasy.
Yeah.
Nothing less attractive than a greasy rough there, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
You stay away from that shit.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You'll never get a fair maiden that way.
He's the kind of guy you could tell needs a bath just by looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Like, in photos.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. From 30 feet away, you can tell, like, that guy needs a fucking bath.
No, there's no technology at this point. So in portraits, you can tell he needs a bath. somebody painted him
sweaty. Yeah. I am pretty sure there are spells to, like, basically capture image. So essentially taking photos. So after Manchun reaches for the sword, blows off his hand, blinds his brother. I don't know what kind of explosion it was.
But bone shards hit his brother in the eye or something?
That's it. His brother was wearing his welding glove, but not his welding goggles, and Manchun was wearing his welding goggles, but not his welding glove.
Oh, and they sparked the torch.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, idiots, yeah. Man.
Amateur. After that happens, the
rich
sword...
Rich boy never goes to trade school.
Yeah, right? The sword animates itself and begins to attack the party because it's a ancient relic. It's a dancing sword, essentially, which is, you know, like a pretty powerful... a dancing sword is a sword which, like, if you get one in game, you say the command word and, like, in a battle you can throw it out and it will just, like,
float
in the air and fight people.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
So it basically happens...
I imagine something much more elegant.
Yeah, I mean... fighting's a lot like a dance, Peter. Sword fighting is elegant and graceful.
If you toss it out on stage, it'll lean back in a chair and dump water on its blade. When I get around to it, that might be your picture.
It gets so rusty.
Yeah.
Um, So, with the brothers critically wounded, Chess manages to save them both while letting the Harpers fend for themselves.
Conveniently not blind.
Yeah, he not conveniently not blind and still two hands. Yeah. Gotta give it to him. So he lends a hand to the brothers and leaves the Harpers to fend for themselves, which kind of maybe says something about the trio that we've been following so far, where it's just like, hey, there's these people who helped us get here, and we were about to betray them, and one of us got blinded, and one of us got their hand blown off, and maybe they could help us. Ah, but fuck them.
Yeah, it's like, we better go.
Yeah, you know what? I think we really overstayed our welcome. I don't think the sword wants us here, guys.
Yeah. What about the magic relic? I really need to get to a hospital.
Yeah. I can't feel my hand. Oh, who said that? I'm your brother.
Yeah, it's just like his bones are still there, but it's like perfectly blackened.
Yeah, yeah.
Like charcoal.
Yeah. So the party drags himself out of the ancient barrow. Desperate and wounded, they come across another band of merry men and attack them in their sleep. They kill the new group.
He's looking out. He's just looking out through a telescope. He's just like, I can see their leader. He has hands.
Yeah, that's it.
I need one of them.
Yeah, no, it's like Chess. Like, don't worry, buddy. I'm gonna get you one of those hands. Yeah. Man, she was just there, like,
past an enormous bag of gold.
Yeah,
to cut the guy's hand off.
Yeah.
In his sleep, and he doesn't even wake
up. Yeah, that's it. And he like takes like the bone hand and like switches it.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah. The guy like wakes up, looks at like it's just like this destroyed hand, just like taped to the end of his stump, like. Oh God! What happened?
Yeah, where he's just like he looks at the guy's hand with the bone hand. He like weighs them both, takes off one finger from the bone hand because it's too heavy, and then puts it down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah! The guy rolls over, starts sucking his bone thumb.
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, I got him.
Yeah, I got him. Don't worry, we're good." And then the guy like wakes up. Who's that? Like stabs him in the throat. Like, oh fuck! You were supposed to wake up. Oh man. No, he does that, and then a giant boulder comes out of nowhere and just crushes the sleeping people.
Yeah, exactly.
they kill this new group of people, which I think tells you more about who we're kind of dealing with here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the daddy issues have really internalized at this point.
Are we not the good guys this episode, Ethan? Are we the bad guys?
I wouldn't say we're these people, but yeah. You know?
I mean, we're representing them. That's all. I more meant like when you're playing a game where you turn out to be the villain, you're not actually a bad person.
No.
Presumably.
No.
Bad people play video games. So.
Sometimes you kill a person for their hand.
Yeah.
But that's... You needed a hand.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah. We neglected to mention that some of... Although they were asleep, so we can't confirm they have eyes. So that's why
that's why they didn't bother with the eyes.
all their eyes were closed. I couldn't check. Yeah. And he's like, don't worry about it.
So Manchute is a bad guy. We're gonna slowly build up to... You know, how bad? Who bad? Why bad? What bad?
What does he actually replace his hand with?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Very shortly, actually. So, next paragraph shortly. When they return to a nearby settlement,
I see.
Is able to trade his... They kill the group. Manchun recovers a wand and a spell book.
Okay.
A valuable wand and a valuable spell book.
Does he tape it to the stump?
So, yeah, he's got a wand. No, it's spellbook hands. You mean the spellbook, right?
Yeah. Tape the spell, change the page.
Yeah, that's it.
That actually, you know what? That's fantastic character design. I gotta write that down. That's gonna be the art whenever I re-up that. Yeah, the spellbook hand.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So he gets a valuable wand and a valuable spellbook. He returns to a nearby settlement. The spellbook he doesn't know how to read. So wizards in D&D. They always have a spell book where they write down all their spells. At the beginning of every day, they have to spend like an hour or 2 hours memorizing
a
spell.
But they forget their spells after they cast them.
Yeah, so like...
And that's why they have to relearn them at the end of...
Yeah, they learn like somatically, which means like, you know, what they do with like gestures they have to do with their fingers. Some spells you have to like draw symbols on your palm or, you know, inscribe symbols into the air. You have to say certain phrases in like not like magical languages.
You have to cast spells.
Exactly. Yeah. And then like as soon as... a wizard does that, it like burns that memory from their mind, and they're physically incapable
of
remembering.
That can't be healthy. It's like boxing.
Yeah.
Do you think wizards would just like cry at weird moments?
Yeah.
When they get old.
Yeah, for sure. They all die at 60.
Collect pigeons.
No, that's not true. They all they normally live longer than
for centuries.
Yeah, because they use their magic for such things.
Really.
So he gets back.
What's
to
your secret? And he's just like, I don't know.
So he gets back to his settlement, and he realizes that this book is really valuable. Because it's got a lot of spells that he can, you know, try and learn.
Yeah.
And Manshun, our boy, is interested in magic.
Okay.
Remember when I said we're going to find out what class he is?
He's a mage.
He is a wizard.
Wizard.
Remember when I said earlier tonight that we're going to talk about wizard?
There was Manshun.
That was Manshun. Right. It was Manshun all along.
Damn.
Whoa.
Taking me for a real roller coaster.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This episode.
I really buried the lead on that one.
On this here episode of the Lore Boys.
Yeah. But he realizes he doesn't necessarily need the wand because he can't use it yet. He wants to learn how to cast spells, not how to use a wand to cast spells.
Okay.
And I'm not actually sure how wands work in Dungeons & Dragons because I just started playing 5e. I know. In Pathfinder, anybody can use a wand. It takes a successful check to actually do, and you can, like, burn uses of the wand, and if you roll badly enough, you can just, like, destroy the wand.
I guess it's kind of like Ziggurat, which is that, like, kind of Doom-style shooter with magic,
okay,
where
your
magical relics have ammo,
yeah,
sort of thing.
Wands do have charges.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, you can make them by just, like, buying a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, painting your spells onto the wand.
Okay, cool.
But it usually, like, 50 charges, whatever. And then each time you use it, if you know how to cast the spell, you can just use it.
Okay.
Which means, like, wands are very powerful. If you have a wand of fireball.
Yeah.
And you know how to cast fireball, you can just use that to cast fireball without spending your spell slots, which is like the number of spells you can remember each day.
Right.
But if you don't, like, let's say you have the wand, you're a wizard, and it's Cure Light Wounds, which is a healing spell, which wizards can't learn, you would have to roll a use magic device check.
Okay.
And then, like, if you get over the DC, which is, we won't get into the numbers, but if you get over it, then you cast a spell. If you get under it, you don't cast the spell and you expend a charge.
Yeah, you try and use your wand defibrillator on your guy having a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly.
He just explodes.
Well, you forgot to plug it in.
Yeah.
Or if you roll like a one, then maybe he just explodes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which might be useful in its own right. So he takes that wand, which he's not sure that he needs, doesn't know how to use, figures he'd burn too many uses off it anyway, and trades it to a healer to have his hand healed.
Oh.
So it is a world of magic. Somebody can just grow him a new hand. Why the fuck not, right? So he gets a new hand.
Twist ending. It's remarkably painful.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think so.
Yeah. it's like you weigh the consequences. It's like, I mean, like, I won't sleep for days.
Yeah. Like... yeah. Yeah, but he keeps the book, which is relevant because his brother's still blind.
Oh, yeah.
He basically made off with the only things of real value from the camp.
Yeah.
Because his brother was blind,
yep.
Not very good at looking for valuables.
Clearly.
And chess, like I said, is presumably a fighter or a rogue, and was probably like, oh, cool armor, nice sword, I'm going to take this stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Manshun was like, hey, magic shit's worth a lot of fucking gold.
Was he just lying to his blind brother?
So, remember I said we're slowly going to get to the kind of person that Manshun is.
Right.
So, first he started.
I'm jumping the gun, I'm sorry.
His recklessness. No, you're right on cue.
Okay.
His recklessness gets his brother blinded.
Right.
His recklessness and greed. He agrees to abandon the trio of harpers who had been helping him to their own fate.
Selfish, clearly.
He kills a man in his sleep. Several men in their sleep. He leaves his brother blind when he maybe had the means to cure him of said blindness. And this was towards the end of their couple of years of adventuring.
Yeah.
And they decide, you know what? I almost lost my hand forever. Azmuth lost his sight forever, despite our best efforts.
Yep.
Let's go
I
home.
Lost the page. I would never be able to
yeah, that's
find
it, yeah.
the healing spell again.
Yeah, that's it. No, I don't remember. It was a guy, but after he healed my hand, he turned into a puff of smoke. It's a land of fantasy. Ooh. Azmuth is like, I hate you, brother. What are you going to do? Find him on your own? Good luck, blindy.
I hate you so much. He's like facing the wall.
Yeah. So Manshun and Chess and Azmuth are like, you know what? Let's go home, fuck.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for a while. You know, maybe they got some gold. Maybe they did get some artifacts along the way.
Yeah.
They're going to bring him home to Dad.
Who's been dead for a while now.
See what the store is. They don't know that, though.
That's true.
So they haven't heard. But when they're on their way home in, like, an outlying village, you know, they're kind of, you know, trying to gather information about the status of the keep. What's been going on since we've been gone? You don't want to be showing up, you know, blind. And they find out Dad's dead. And your dad's dead. So they find out that their parents are dead.
Dang.
And they kind of realize, like, hey,
I guess we're the parents now.
Remember those sweet spots on the council that they had?
Yeah.
Man, it'd be sweet if we had those, huh? Huh, Chess? My only friend who can see? So on the way home, Manchun...
A friend with eyes is a very dangerous friend.
Yeah, that's it. And a friend without eyes, and her brother without eyes, is an annoyance that gets in the way and potentially lays claim to your rightful place on the council.
Oh, fuck.
So he pushes his brother off a bridge.
Oh, good.
Pushes his blind brother, whom he blinded, and then chose not to heal.
That's his fault.
Off a bridge.
Yeah. Arguably. I had no idea that there was magic in that sword that I touched that blew up my hand. Okay.
If I'd have known, I never would have let it blow up my hand.
Exactly.
That healing hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt more than blowing off my hand, honestly.
Yeah, of course. The whole thing backwards.
Yeah. They're just crossing a bridge one day, and he throws him off a bridge. It's unclear whether or not Chess knew about it ahead of time, or even knew about it during, and it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, Azmuth needs to take a shit. You go cross the bridge, Chess, and wait for us on the other side. We'll catch up.
Yep.
And then, oh, boy.
He's blind. I gotta wipe his butt for him. You know, he couldn't find his butt.
He's my brother. I must do it. You've never done this for me before. He said, holding his shit-covered hands up. That's gross. So Manchu's like, yeah.
That is so fucking gross.
And she's like, yeah, Chess, you go wait on the other side of the bridge, we'll catch up. And then like gets to the other side of the bridge, is like, oh no, he fell.
Okay, yeah, he had a very unfortunate accident.
Yeah, that's it. He shit himself and was embarrassed and ran off the bridge. He's trying to run away from me as a blind man on a bridge. It was like, suicide, I tell you.
I have the toilet paper.
Yeah. It's unclear if that was what happened or if him and Chess were like...
in cahoots.
Yeah, that's it. Like, Manchun was kind of like, you know what, we're going to try and get our places back. Azmuth is only going to get in the way and be a liability.
Yep.
Let's get rid of him now. And maybe Chess was like, yeah, let's do it.
Look, do you want a blind guy to take care of him? I don't.
That's it.
He's your brother, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But exactly. That's what I'm going to have to take care of him, Chess.
Yeah. But he's your competition. Think about that. And they were both just like, all right. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's push him off a fucking bridge.
Yeah. After he poops.
Yeah. Like, he's blind. Like, they could have just left him in a town and he probably couldn't have fucking found his way back.
Are you kidding? They could have left him anywhere.
Yeah. But now, let's push him off a fucking bridge.
Yeah.
Got to make sure it's done. You know what I mean?
You walk him 10 feet out of town just into a wheat field.
Yeah.
Just leave him there.
Gets bit by a fucking rattlesnake.
Yeah, exactly. What a way to go in a land of fantasy and monsters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people died of dysentery. It's like, you know, in...
yeah, clean water.
In Faerun. When there's literally spells, it's either a cantrip, which is like a zero-level spell,
okay,
or a first-level spell, which is, you know, clean water. Like, take water, make it clean and drinkable. People still die, you know? The monarchy, am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
All these lords killing each other, throwing each other off bridges and balconies.
And poisoning each other.
Yeah. Poisoning each other and blowing each other's hands off. And
blinding each other.
Yeah, so they kill Azmuth. They go back to Zentil. When they do, they manage to overthrow those yuppies that had kind of, like, weaseled their way into their place and do manage to become lords of the keep.
Good.
So Manchun is first lord of Zentil Keep.
This is Manchun in Chess, correct?
Yeah. Chess probably took the place of his father, where it's like, you know, second in command or whatever, except they seem to be a bit more chummy. Not like chummy,
yeah,
but like a bit more chummy, maybe. They kind of like understand the necessity for each other, and
yeah,
maybe...
he didn't like assign him the role of treacherous vizier.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to need somebody to plot my death.
Yeah.
And I want you to be that the guy.
And you know what, Chess? We've been through a lot of shit together. And if somebody's going to stab me in the back, I want it to be you, man.
I love you, man.
I love you, Chess. I'm going to hate killing you, man. I'm going to hate it.
Kidnap my daughter and kill me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay, I promise, man. We get back.
I love you.
I love you. You gonna help me push my brother off a bridge? Yeah. So it was either that or like they were on their way back and Chess was like, this motherfucker pushed his brother off a bridge. I am not fucking crossing him.
Yeah.
You know, like this guy
stone cold.
This guy fucking goes hard. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I left three wizards to fend for themselves. This guy pushed his fucking brother off a bridge. His blind brother off a bridge.
Yeah, that's a true low.
Yeah. So not long after returning, and maybe feeling a little paranoid, I wonder why, Manchun would establish
the... Was it the fratricide?
Yeah, maybe the, you know, the backwards, you know, sadistic nature of people in this keep in general, how his father was poisoned and threw his betrayer off a balcony, and how his best friend is his chief rival, and, you know, it's probably a couple things.
Yeah.
Multifaceted problem.
A little bit of subterfuge.
Yeah.
Going around, a little skullduggery in the halls.
Yeah. So he comes up with his first plan, which is to establish the Black Cloaks, a covert cadre of powerful wizards, mostly made up of worshippers of the dark god Bane. So there's a... Zentel keeps like a small city, maybe like a large town,
okay,
like gathered around and partially inside the keep. And there's a priest, there's probably a couple churches there, but one of the biggest ones is Priest of Bane. Bane is the god of fear, hatred, and tyranny.
Okay. Have we covered him?
I don't think so. I don't think in any way.
No? Okay.
So he basically goes to this priesthood and says, like, hey, a lot of you guys are like pretty powerful spellcasters and stuff. You know, let's work something out where you work for me and, you know, I'll help you out where I can. Yeah. Bah, 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 bah.
You work for me and I become Lord of the Keep.
And yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you guys are free to worship and do your fucking weird, creepy, hateful priest rituals,
comes
I guess.
Down to it, I won't abandon you in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. God of fear, hatred, and tyranny. Which one of them isn't, am I right? No, just kidding. Religion's beautiful. So... his Black Cloaks were powerful, ambitious,
good,
and beholden almost solely to their god, which is problematic for a paranoid megalomaniac.
Yeah, anybody who wants power, if somebody is more loyal to something else and you hire them, that was the wrong stack of resumes.
Yeah, that's it. He basically turned to them and created the Black Cloaks because, like, while they were beholden solely to their god, he feel like...
just thinking, like, taking in resumes from worshippers, and he's just like, oh, this is all so confusing. My brother used to do this for me.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. It's like, now, I see here on your resume, it says, completely and unabashedly in love with your god,
yep,
above all others.
What do you think about 8 to 4?
Yeah. That's it. Could you offset, like, work one Saturday a week and, like, you get the Monday off? Would that be okay? Or, like, we could do Sunday to Thursday if you want.
I don't know whether you're, like, a Friday or a Sunday.
When's
religion?
The Sabbath for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so Manchun, he already trusted almost nobody. And I feel like he was like, maybe I can manipulate their faith in God more than I can manipulate my peers' faith only in themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like he just thought, like, it wasn't ideal, but he was working with what he had at the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, the only other people around were, like, treacherous murderers who would kill him at the first chance they got.
Yeah, and then I guess his silver metal group of guys was, like, a bunch of fanatics.
Yeah.
Who were just like, fuck.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, they're so weird, though. Oh, look at their skin. It's so pale.
They don't wear shoes.
Yeah.
They all wear gloves, but they don't wear shoes.
They wear gloves? No shoes? These big, heavy robes? God. What do they do with those meetings with all the masks? It's so weird.
They just rattle everywhere they move.
Yeah. So he trusted almost no one, obviously. But he didn't trust this group of powerful wizards, already sworn to someone else.
Yeah.
So in addition to the Black Cloaks, he trained and recruited spies to keep tabs on everyone else in the keep while he continued to master magic.
Okay.
So Manchun's thing is, like, he loves magic.
He's kind of like, trying to remember the leader. There's a political leader, a despot in history,
okay,
who did end up going completely crazy by the... I can't fucking remember.
I want to say most of them.
Yeah, but there was one who, like...
By definition, to be a despot, you got to be kind of completely crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, crazy in this way. I don't mean, like,
okay,
crazy. Crazy is a broad term.
Crazy in, like, the paranoid way?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Where it's just, like, stop trusting everybody and then, like, have people assassinated by other people that you don't trust. And
yeah.
That's kind of where this is going.
We'll say...
Seemingly.
We'll say John F. Kennedy. Dun, dun.
Yeah, trust no one, not even yourself.
Yeah.
So we had Lee Harvey Oswald kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, so he sets up a spy network. Some of his spies eventually reported back to Manchun with word of a magical floating rock in some nearby ruins.
Oh.
So Manchun was, like, paranoid, in charge of Zentel Keep.
I want to check it out, but I'm not going to touch it.
But all he wanted to do is study his magic.
Yeah.
All he wanted to do was learn magic. So he had sent up He had set up this this powerful group, which he called the Zentarim.
Okay.
Which I haven't mentioned, but for the D&D fans out there, they'll recognize the name. It's basically like a very prevalent along the Sword Coast, which is like a major area in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, Sword Coast I've seen.
Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter.
Sword Coast is one of the expansions for Baldur's Gate 2, as far as I know.
It could be.
Yeah, or maybe...
It's the name of the coast where like Baldur's Gate is near, Neverwinter's on, Waterdeep is on.
That's it. No, it's part of the... Like Something of the Sword Coast is an expansion for one of the D&D games. I just can't fucking remember.
Legends of the Sword Coast is like an expansion module for D&D that just provides like a bunch of info, like background info on the area.
Yeah.
The Zentarim are this like the Thieves Guild.
Okay, cool.
Like in modern day D&D, which this is taking place in like 12 like the 13th to 14th century.
Okay.
Whereas like modern, like most current settings in D&D, I think, are the 16th century.
Okay,
so like a couple hundred years later.
300-400 years.
Yeah. So he had set up these Zentarim. He tells them, spy on people.
Mm-hmm.
Watch my back.
Yep.
You know, manage the state where you can. And find me magical items. Because I like magical items.
That's fair.
They blinded my brother, blew off my hand, but I still like them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goes to show you, he's pretty devoted to magical items.
Touch them for me.
So his spies report back that there's this magical floating rock in some nearby ruins. Manchun's like, that's pretty fucking cool.
I'm into it.
He's like, get away from me with this talk of rocks. Wait, did you say this rock was floating? yes, we did, sir. Rocks don't normally float.
No, they don't, sir.
No, that's why we thought we would tell you, sir.
Well, why'd you open with the rock
thing? Yeah. What did you tell me? What did you start with floating? We did, sir. We said floating rock.
Such an idiot. So
Manchun, loving floating rocks.
Big and magic rocks. You can drink now.
Actually. Yeah, actually. Yeah. And I'm drinking for once in not a while on the podcast. So I'll take a sip with our listeners at home. Punch a couple tins with the boys. Because we talk about magic rocks on this episode. So he decides to investigate personally. He says, you know what? This magic rock sounds pretty cool.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Puts gloves on. Yeah. Like thin dollar store gloves.
He's
that'll do. Got it. Yeah.
They're like the gloves with like the fingers cut off. Like,
oh yeah, the smoking gloves. Yeah. So he's still touching.
Yeah. No, but he's like, let's go check this out. So he gets there and he sees this floating rock and it's this massive, like a boulder.
Okay.
Floating in the air.
Yeah.
And he says, fuck, that is pretty cool.
It's a biggin.
Let's go talk to it.
Okay.
And he gets closer, and turns out it's not a floating rock.
Is it a beholder?
It is a beholder.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Which is like a massive, like a boulder-sized head.
Yeah.
With a mouth full of sharp teeth, a single eye.
Yep.
And then eight or so eye stalks, which are like tentacles with eyes at the end of them.
Yeah, like a snail.
On top of its head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like eight. And with like, do snails have eyes at the end of their...
Stalks, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. That's snail facts.
To the best of my knowledge.
Welcome to the Snail Boys.
Lore Boys canon, snails have eyes.
Yeah.
The snails have eyes. This is the next episode.
Yeah. So he finds out it's a beholder. Beholders are, from their eye stalks, they can shoot a multitude of very powerful magic beams,
cool.
Like disintegration rays and sleep rays and, you know, mind control rays and other things like that. You know, from their main eye, they usually have like a really powerful effect, like an anti-magic zone.
Okay,
so like
cool.
if you're a spellcaster and
is
they're
like
looking,
a silence thing?
Yeah. If you're
like
a spell
of silence sort
exactly.
Of thing?
Okay. If you're a spellcaster and they're looking at you, like if you're a wizard, all of a sudden like you can't cast any spells.
Okay.
Like you're, as a wizard, dead.
Fucked.
Essentially.
Yeah. No armor, no spells.
Nothing. Basically, you got nothing. You ain't got shit, kid.
Yeah.
And
you got two hands.
Yeah, and they're powerful beholders. They're like they're hard to fight and hard to kill in Dungeons and Dragons. And Manchun at this point, obviously, like he doesn't have a level.
Yeah,
quote unquote in the story.
Because beholders are one of those monsters that even me, having not played D&D, already knew what they were. In the same way, I knew what like a Tarrasque or like a dragon were. They're some of the like end game.
Yeah.
Boss monsters that you would go up against, sort of?
They're, like, late game. Not end game. So, like, max level in Dungeons & Dragons is 20.
Okay.
They're probably, like, 13, 14.
Okay.
With a group of people. So, like, a group of 4 to 5, level 13, 14s, you can take on a beholder.
They're the denouement of a campaign.
Yeah.
It's beholder territory.
Yeah, for sure. You could definitely end a campaign with, like, a beholder.
Okay.
You'd certainly end a lot of arcs with a beholder because they're, like, iconic Dungeons & Dragons enemies.
Yeah, they're on a lot of the monster manuals.
No, for sure. Actually,
one quick aside. My buddy Alexi, when we did our first D&D episode a year and a half ago, he was like, why didn't you put a beholder in the artwork? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it didn't occur to me. Because I drew a bunch of, like, a lich and a dragon and a spider. And
playing
a,
Dungeons & Dragons,
the psychic, the psychic slug thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, no beholder? Dude, you got to get a beholder. Yeah. So I'll when I get everything sorted out and I kick back into high gear, I'll see if I can get something.
There might be a beholder on this artwork whenever it comes out.
On this here podcast.
On this podcast. So the beholder's name was Xantrip.
Okay. Can you talk to them? Are they are they intelligent?
Yep. They're very, very smart, actually.
I see.
Incredibly intelligent, incredibly egotistical, and possessive. Kind of like dragons, where they just think, like, they think they're owed stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dragons hoard a lot of treasure and shit. What do beholders?
They will hoard magical artifacts.
Okay.
And stuff like that. Yeah. Not to the extent that dragons do. Like, dragons fucking love it, dude.
Yeah.
Dragons fucking come to gold. beholders don't got a dick, as far as I know. So, tune in to the Beholder episode of the Lore Boys. Coming up soon.
Find out if they got dicks.
Hosted by Jamie Repeater. They'll tell you if beholders have dicks.
Jamie.
Yeah.
He's not here. He can't defend himself.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jamie's got it. Jamie's got the beholder dick episode.
Yeah. Is he next week?
I don't. So the fact that Manchun survives this encounter is notable, because beholders are very, very powerful.
Did it not want to kill him?
So it's unclear why.
Okay.
But
did they kiss?
It either tells us that Manchun is becoming very, very powerful.
Okay.
And was actually able to threaten the beholder, which doesn't seem likely, or that he's becoming incredibly wily. And it was just, like, managed to talk to this thing and promise it some shit that it wanted.
Oh.
So, seeing the opportunity to knock out two birds...
He's, like, such an idiot. He's like, hey, man, I know the location of a big-ass magic rock.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where it is.
The holder's like, where is this artifact?
Yeah. Well, yeah, dude, if you just gave him directions to himself, you'd never find it. And he's such an egotistical idiot.
Yeah, that's it. No, it must be around here somewhere. He would never lie to me.
Wander off into the sea.
Yeah. So he sees the opportunity to knock out two birds with one floating stone. He devises a plan to weaken the Baneite priests he feared and to gain the respect and aid of Xantrip.
Okay.
So he offers Xantrip control of the priesthood and of Zentil Keep, if the beholder would help him. He uses his spies to spread word back at Zentil Keep that at the ruins there was a conduit to the gods. You know what religious zealots love?
Conduits to gods?
Ways to talk to God.
Yeah.
So the priests...
Is prayer not doing enough? I got a deal for you?
Yeah, that's it. Magic floating rocks. What, rocks are worthless? Wait, did you say floating rocks?
it's like, why does everybody always miss that part? People in Zentil Keep are so fucking stupid. Yeah.
Like, the spies are the only intelligent people because they're outsourced. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're outsourced to a different keep, so it's just like, floating is the first, you know what, I don't even care.
Yeah, that's it. Harald Schoen was like a terrible leader, and the first thing he cut was education.
Yeah.
And just, like, this is a result of fucking like a massive uneducated,
like, nobody understands adjectives.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man. So the priests of Bane decide to flock to the beholder's lair to speak to their god.
Do they get eight?
No.
Oh.
They speak to Xantrip.
He's a pretty chatty Cathy.
But he doesn't... They don't necessarily know that they're talking to a beholder. Beholders have a whole host of very powerful spells that they can cast.
Oh.
And if you have a bunch of religious zealots who truly believe already that they're going to be speaking to their god...
They're the purest rubes.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do whatever you want.
Religious fanatics, the purest rubes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Religion is beautiful. Fanatics, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah. So Xantrip, wanting to control the priesthood... And Zentil Keep has a pretty easy time of controlling the priesthood. The evil creature uses influence to guide them away from the Church of Bane, and instead join the Zentarim, that network of spies, thugs, thieves, and press gangs which Manchun had led. So Manchun was like, you grab these priests, you tell them to sign up for my gang, you can control the keep, and if you ever need them to do anything, they'll do it for you.
It's like a pyramids game.
I mean, it seems like he's spinning a lot of plates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This could never possibly blow up in his face.
Yeah. He's like the Simpsons analogy on, like, Whacking Day, where it's like, he's got snakes, So he's got to get gorillas to kill the snakes, you know, and then he's got to get tigers to kill the gorillas.
Okay,
and then he's
got
to get the, you know, he just waits for winter to come to kill off all the tigers. But yeah, it seems like every time he gets a problem, he decides to find somebody stronger. He's like got one person that's stronger than him. He's like, I know, I'll recruit somebody stronger than them. Does that, and then is like, wait, I don't trust this person either.
All he's doing is outsourcing help on credit.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he's got like he's got a pretty good credit history from all the magic artifacts he recovered, I guess.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. All right.
So
when that beholder audited him, he was just like, "All right, you got yourself a deal there."
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Manchun.
No, your credit score is surprisingly good. Yeah. What is that? A belt of constitution plus two? Wow, that's pretty good. So while the beholder stokes his power with his newfound...
He's got a minus interest buff on it. brings interest down to 11%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zero APR for the first 6 months.
Yeah, that's a temporary buff.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a stat buff when you equip it. And then, so while the beholder stokes his power with his newfound followers, Manchun was busy with his own plans. So he had very little interest in setting up and ruling, very little interest in matters of state. Manchun set the wizards of the Zentrum to dealing with that. He was like, hey, wizards, my people, now that you are, now that I have shown you your god and your god has told you that I am his voice, run the state for me. I got other shit to do. He's like, you, figure out the school system. What's wrong with it? We got all these fucking idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
None of them understand adjectives. Set up like an adjectives program. Set up like a wheel, read mobile or something, you know? Like a wagon with books that we just give to people. God.
None of the books. This is all old books to start, so none of them have adjectives.
Yeah, that's it. Just straight to the business. No, none of that flowery language in Zental keep.
Especially not the word flowery.
Yeah.
None of what kind of language, sir? Never mind. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Just forget it. Fuck. Just read the goddamn book.
Yeah.
So while others are dealing with politics, Manchun is studying magic.
Still.
He's striving to perfect certain schools of it. Like all good evil wizards.
Yeah.
Manchun has a penchant for necromancy.
Dang.
Yeah. It was during this time, while he was studying necromancy and being a de facto ruler of Zental Keep with the power of a beholder at his back, that he develops his great insurance plan. And he would need it. So it seems that running a criminal organization, playing hard and fast with beholders, and betraying an entire sect of a church dedicated to a god of hatred is dangerous work.
Really?
You remember all those snakes and tigers and gorillas that he's been piling up in his garage?
Yeah, exactly.
It turns out, maybe they turn on him.
No kidding.
So in 1370 Dale Reckoning, 141 years after his birth, Manchun would be slain.
Really?
The priest of Bane, Fazul, which I haven't mentioned his name yet, but he was like Manchun's in with the church.
Okay.
This was a guy who knew him.
Yeah.
And how whatever their relationship was, Manchun used him to attract a bunch of people to his black cloaks.
Yeah, okay. He was the charismatic guy that he would send out to he was the recruiter basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like he might have been the only one who read also, cuz he seems like the one to be like, I don't fucking buy it.
Yeah.
I don't fucking think that's God.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's fucking pulling my leg, man.
Yeah. Doesn't look anything like any of our statues.
Yeah.
Our statues got legs, for one.
Our statues like are that. Not floating rocks.
I don't like that thing.
What rocks?
What kind of rocks? Not important.
Oh, my God. So Fazul, hating the idea of a floating rock, decides to recruit one of the other lords of Zental Keep,
okay,
who, as we know, is probably very keen on ousting Manchun, Orgoth. The two of them creep into Manchun's mansion in the dead of night and surprise
Manchun's mansion
and eventually slay him.
Oh, how? In a special way, or they just
Bane, he casts a spell of Bane, and the other guy is like, I swing my sword at him. It's unclear. There's probably a battle. They get the jump on him. They manage to kill him.
Okay.
Irrelevant. To the duo's dismay, they find themselves facing a dozen clones, which Manchun had made of himself.
Quite the insurance policy.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking good. We're talking about a low interest spell. That's a pretty fucking good one.
That's a pretty good insurance policy.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're still dead.
Yes.
But I guess part of you lives on.
Does he not transfer into one of them?
So
are they all him?
That's what he was working on.
Mm.
But he never got there.
I see.
So all he got was the setup to the joke with no punchline.
Dang.
Yeah. Infinite jest, am I right?
What kind of jest?
Infant. Oh, yeah. You got me. I was like, wait, did this idiot forget adjectives?
What kind of idiot would forget adjectives?
We idiots.
Us, yes. Us, the lore boys.
During his time ducking matters of state, Manchun had created the spell Stasis Clone, which allowed him to create perfect replicas of himself.
Are those replicas in time? Like, does he leave one at its current state, or... Am I asking too much?
No, so, like, they're just, like, he's making clones, and, like, his house was presumably a bunch of his clones walking around.
Cool.
And, like, I don't know.
Busying themselves as clones
That's
do.
It, you know? Like, one of them makes a coffee run, he probably picks up, you know, like, 100 cups of coffee or whatever and brings Sweet. It back for everyone.
Sweet.
They face a dozen clones, but it seems likely that there was a lot more than just a dozen. It seems like maybe there's like 100 clones.
All the furniture is just Manchun painted like furniture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just posing around the room.
Exactly. Yeah,
sick, sadistic fuck.
Like one guy painted silver, just takes off a lampshade.
Yeah,
that's it. That wasn't a lamp.
Yeah, that's it. Kills Manchun, like falls dead, and the lamp just like lifts its lampshade off. Like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. The fucking chair gets up. Like,
yeah, the chair. Like, he has his arms out like chair, like armrests. And just, like, stands up.
The piano gets up. There's like the sound.
It's
of, like
three
of
guys.
A chord. Yeah, like a chord playing. Oh man, I wish I had enough time to do post on this episode because I put a chord in there, but I don't. So.
Oh well, that's okay. I wish I had the tools to draw 100 dudes posed as furniture, but I don't. I might when I get the tools to do it.
Yeah, maybe not the tools or the sanity, but
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so the two do manage to escape the clones because the clones turned on each other.
Oh,
each of the clones was convinced that he was, in fact, the real Manchun.
That was that thing that he never got to fix.
And felt an undeniable need to slay his rivals.
I see. Yeah.
So this would kick off the Manchun Wars.
Oh, the Manchun Wars isn't the war caused by Manchun. It's...
Well, technically,
well,
yes.
It is, but it's not the Manchun Wars in the same way. It's like...
It's called the Manchun Wars because every participant is Manchun.
That's what I mean. It's not like we talked about Lord of the Rings last week. It's not the War of the Ring because the ring is the... thing people are fighting
the MacGuffin,
over.
Yeah.
The Manchun Wars is because there's a bunch of Manchuns leading armies against Manchun.
Not even leading armies, just going to war with each other.
Just going, oh, jeez. Okay.
So, it's a period of Faerun's history where an army of clones of a powerful wizard...
I have one quick question. Did he kind of have a humble moment where he was just like, I'm a bit of an egotistical prick. I'm going to have to work this glitch out before I wake these clones up. And then his buddies killed him in his sleep. And now his clones have gone crazy? Is that kind of what happened?
Make it what you want.
Okay. Lore Boys canon.
It seems like, he was like waiting until he could transfer his consciousness into the other clones.
Okay.
And there is some evidence to support that coming up.
Okay.
So, an army of clones of a powerful wizard, their exact number unknown, tear across the continent. The Manchun Wars lasted a century, at least a century. Manchun, over the course of his 141-year life of running a black network dedicated at least in part to the procurement of magical items and powerful artifacts, had amassed quite the collection at the time of his passing.
I can imagine.
So I guess it's a lot like a battle royale, where all these clones wake up in a house full of powerful magic artifacts.
And they're going to kill each other.
And they're all going to try and kill each other. Some of them are going to try and just get away and live as long as possible. But they're all going to grab as many fucking magic items and shinies as they can.
Dude.
And okay. Get the fuck out before the storm strikes.
I swear to God, if somebody somewhere, because we get quite good downloads these days. If someone somewhere who can make that decision, and you make the Manchun Wars Battle Royale game, and we don't get like a $5 check.
Yeah. At least we got to be characters in the game. We got to be skins in the game or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
We'll
be one three-headed idiot in the game.
That'd be such a funny fucking setup for a game or to kill your clones.
I have seen like alpha videos of a like mage battle royale.
Oh,
I don't remember what it was called.
I think I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking contact wizards, call it fucking the Manchun Wars. Partner with wizards, fucking make a buck. You know what I mean?
There you go.
So, everyone makes for a weapon. Some clones die that first night. But many make it out.
Those are those hot drop ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody that landed, like, tilted, or I don't know the equivalent in, I guess it's supply ship in Apex Legends.
Sure. I don't know what tilted is.
It's from Fortnite.
I see. I'm the only person on Earth who has never played that, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, those people, the people who land at like the hot zones where like everybody fucking lands, yeah, like the supply ship.
The early drop in Apex, I remember, is,
yeah, exactly,
pretty spicy.
So some of them land there, die right away. Some of them, you know, land at the edges of the map and survive for quite a few years. They gather their strength, they plan, they launch assaults on other clones. Must be pretty hard to surprise yourself, though.
Do they all kind of know what the other is thinking? Like,
I don't know. I don't think so, but they all think exactly the same way. Like, they're not identical twins.
So would they not just all hot drop at the same time?
Yeah, like, that's it. They're not like, you know, like clones that were made from birth and then kind of had different experiences for many, many years. It's right. Like, this is probably within a year or two of when they were born, and they all wake up at the same time and are like, oh fuck, we're the exact same person. And I like to think the only thing that changed their strategy is what magic item did they get.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? One guy who got like a really powerful wand of like fireball plus 10, whatever, like something that could do a lot of damage is like, I'm gonna go aggro and just fucking try and blitz everybody down. Yeah. With, you know, the guy who's like, I got the ring of protection, I'm just gonna fuck off in my
turtle.
Cave.
Turtle off in some swamp.
Exactly. In the end, three clones went out.
Okay.
It seems likely to me that they came to a truce in the end, perhaps each of them thinking themselves more canny, though not wanting to test the powers of the other.
They want to get back into manipulating people, which is how this whole thing started.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess they're kind of like, well, we're the last three, huh? Yeah. I guess that means we're pretty powerful, huh? Yeah. And like, none of them had like killed anybody the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Like the last two Manchuns to die just like killed each other, and they're both just like, they're all three of them just like bluffing, like, oh no, yeah, I killed a lot of me, you know?
They're all the guys. I killed a lot of me.
I killed so many me, dude, you wouldn't even believe it. Yeah, like, no, me too, man.
They were all just like camping at the edge of the ring the whole time. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
Okay.
They're just like right outside the laser wall, just like edging up, yeah.
Prone, just like on their elbows.
Yeah. Well, I guess since all of us killed so many of us, we don't, you know, like,
have to kill any more.
Yeah, we don't got to kill any more if you guys don't want it. I don't really care. I'll kill you guys. I don't care because I've done it before, but, you know.
Well, I know exactly what it feels like to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. God, the power you must feel. So they agree that they would leave each other be, at least until one of them truly gets the upper hand. Mm. One of the clones would return to the Zentarim, though they would strike a deal with Fazul, who killed their progenitor. Fazul had overtaken not only Zental Keep, but had overtaken the Zentarim as well.
Including the Beholder?
It's unclear. I didn't go into what actually happened to Xantriff. I didn't look it up. Okay. But whether he works out a deal with Xantriff and says, like, hey, we can keep the same deal going, whether or not he turns his priest on Bane and they manage to kill him, unclear. The Manchun, once he returns to the Zentarim, strikes a deal with Fazul and says, like, hey, you can keep the Zentarim. You can still be in charge. I'm going to be one of your lieutenants. I won't cause any trouble, but you just got to, like, let me use the Zentarim to my own means. Because, again, not interested in ruling, not even a shady...
Just magic.
He just wants, you know, like, when I need people to go check out some ruins with a floating rock, a what rock? when I need some
still
people...
Still after centuries.
Yeah, that's it.
His education program never took off.
Yeah. When I need some people to go check out a rock, doesn't matter what kind, any rock, you're going to lend me some guys. And Fazul's like, fine. Sounds fine to me. As long as we don't make this rock too fucking complicated, okay? this is so stupid.
I was just about to say, this is one of my favorite episode memes we've had in a long time, is the people who don't know adjectives.
Yeah. So, one of the other Manchuns would go on to the city of Westgate, where he assumed the name Orbach and took part in his own criminal organization called the Night Masks.
Cool.
Basically just another city in another part of the world,
yeah,
where he rules, at least in part, another Zentarim, quote-unquote, another thieves' guild.
It's the exact same thing, basically.
Orbach does kind of have more to his story, where he turns into a vampire at some point, and he goes looking for something called the Lost Spell, which is a spell which basically, like, incredibly difficult to find, or, like, to find all the pieces to it, because, like, it's like an ancient myth where it was spread throughout the land, and you have to find like all the pieces, and some of them are like really easy to decipher and some of them are like super hard riddles. Okay. And when you can put all of them together, you can cast the spell.
It's been shredded. You need to put the
Yeah, exactly. You got to get all your scotch tape while everybody else on Earth is trying to get, would kill for this spell kind of thing.
And kill for some scotch tape.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Some what tape? Yeah. And basically when you cast this spell, at any point in the future, if you die, you just will like pop back to life perfectly healthy. No matter what you died from, you'll be perfectly healthy. If you're like in bondage, like you were in jail, or like at the bottom of the sea, you'll pop out somewhere safe, and like it's like the ultimate get out of jail free card.
Okay.
If you can find the lost spell.
Yeah.
The third chooses to move to
Just come back as an American CEO.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm untouchable.
Yeah. 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 Take that, American CEOs. We know you're listening.
Yeah. the lore boys, the best. Very funny.
Yeah.
What kind of funny?
Yeah. What kind of what?
Yeah, what kind of what? That's true. Fuck. Of all the people, yeah.
So the third chooses to move to Undermountain, which is an underground dungeon system full of very powerful mages, criminals, and monsters.
Does he become a lich?
Maybe he's like trying to become a lich.
Okay. I'm surprised none of them have become... I mean, I guess it was in the books.
I mean, like, cloning yourself and, you know, figuring out a way to...
Yeah.
So...
Curse my own blood, question mark?
Yeah, that's it. So, like, these three did agree to all work on a way to, if one of them dies, transfer the consciousness into the others.
Okay, so they know, at least.
Well, like, yeah, when Manchun made the clones...
Yeah.
He knew that that's what he was making them for.
Yeah.
And so they knew that that's what they were making them for. And so, like, they said, like, yeah, let's keep doing that thing that we were doing before we cloned ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's better than having another war amongst us.
Yeah, exactly. Most people believe...
There's a whole lot of waste to me, and I'm not into that.
Yeah. That's it. At least my pigs are happy. most people believe the last clone was killed in the wars, but even those who know rarely know more than one survived.
Okay.
So it's a very famous plot hook where it's like your players aren't supposed to know that there's any Manchuns left. And a lot of campaigns, a lot of printed material even today will be like, you know, the villain is Manchun in the end, and he's the one in Undermountain, or he's the one in, you know, he's the one in the Night Mask, or the leader of the Zentarim, you know, and he's trying to do this thing. It's basically just a way to set it up.
Cool.
So that's the Manchun Wars.
That was a lot of fun. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
Good time as well.
That was a lot of fun. Cool. If you guys like the show... Please leave us a review on iTunes. Contact us however you can. Just reach out to us. We are bad at doing social media stuff, but god damn, we try.
Yeah, we're good at responding to feedback. We do it within a few hours.
Yeah.
But we're real bad...
Sometimes.
...at reaching out.
We're trying to be better, always.
Yeah.
Trying to be better for you. Thinking about cloning ourselves, getting a couple me's, because, like, I don't know. I'm, like, too busy... But I feel like a clone of me, because I'm such a motivated person.
Could pick up a lot of the slack.
Yeah, it would pick up a lot of the slack.
We could start a second podcast.
Who am I kidding? We would do is fuck.
Yeah.
All me and a clone of me would do is fuck.
Yeah.
Let's be real. So you can find us at The Lore Boys, theloreboys.com.
Yep.
Send an email at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or, you know, reach out to us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheLoreBoys.
The Lore Boys.
Instagram, Lore Boys Podcast.
At Lore Boys Podcast, yep.
That's
where the artwork is currently for everything that's done and will be, like I said, when I get back up and running. Where can I find you on the internet, Ethan?
You can find me personally at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's where I hang out. Though not so much these days because work is crazy busy, but in a couple of months it'll be back to normal and I'll be more of a social media presence. And Peter?
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I am a lurker. I retweet a lot of shit, but I will answer you if you contact me. I have a few conversations with people here and there. I'm the cartoonist. You can download our art from DeviantArt at O'Manahue. And then, of course, there is loreboys.com, theloreboys.com, and pornhubcaps.com. I'll redirect to the same place. That's where we update everything. Like I said, I'm in the process of getting everything readjusted here tool-wise so that I can do things quicker and better. Jamie is at jmilk64 on PSN is normally what he plugs.
I think so.
And he's
J-A-Y-M-I-L-L-K.
Yeah, 64.
Mm-hmm.
And then he streams as well at twitch.tv/theloreboys, a little infrequently, but he's on for a while and he's pretty good.
I've been meaning to stream, but I'm too busy right now. But maybe in a couple months. Yeah. Who knows? Or maybe at time of listening, it's now.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'm streaming right now. Yeah. Go right now. Maybe I'm streaming. You're going to miss me.
One of the other things is, along with the review on iTunes, is the app that I found out about and currently use and I like a lot is CastBox. You can leave comments and reviews on that, so please do that as well.
And Peter will answer you.
Most importantly, exactly. Most importantly, if you want to interact with us, please do. Feel free, because, like Ethan said, we're all kind of idiots when it comes to social media. We're not good at using it. But thank you very much for the organic growth that we have, because we're at like 27,000. Downloads, which is...
It's beautiful. You're beautiful and we love you.
Unbelievable.
And if you really love us, you'll send us some money.
Because cash money. We were joking about things earlier, but what
We were joking about talking to you and stuff. All we want is your money. Yeah. So sign up for Loreboys Premium, you dumb idiot.
Yeah.
What are you, a dumb idiot? What, do you want to get smarter? You want to go to school? You want to go to Loreboys University? Well, you are in luck, my friend.
That's what we're launching now.
Loreboys University. Okay? Boom. You're going to learn... adjectives. You're gonna learn what makes a rock float. What is a rock? Not rock, it's beholder.
Yeah.
Oh no, we got beholders in our school. Our janitor's really weird and smells like cheese. We got a cat.
He's old, but he'll never die.
We got a cat at the school. We can't get her out. Because
she's in the vent.
She's in the vents.
And we're all too heavy.
Yeah, so for the low, low price of $79,000 a semester.
Yep.
You can sign up for Loreboys University.
It's regular debt that you're probably used to at this point, frankly. Yeah.
The beauty of it is, though, you know your professors already.
Yeah.
It's me and Peter and Jamie.
We're going to set up some real douchey frats with this money as well. It's going to be a fucking catastrophe for our legal team. Trust me. It's going to be great.
We are going to make those idiots sweat so hard, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We're going to get sued so bad that they're going to get sued. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My lawyer is going to get sued for defending me.
Yeah. Take that, lawyer idiot.
Idiot.
And that constitutes, I suppose.
Hey,
lore boys. Ow.
Ow. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.